Let's get that sound effect. Everybody quiet. That fizz all over my face.
Where's the ah?
Welcome, everybody, to the exciting, titillating, and fantastical adventures of Encore Gamers, episode 157. Today's episode, Jeff Rides a Rocket.
This is great tea, Beacon. Thank you.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jeff.
So let's talk about the games.
Hmm.
Well, The Last of Us Part 2 has a poster reveal. This is the second poster. And it's a correlation with the first poster. Here, I'll show you a picture of them both, side by side. The first one was the one on the right, and that was presumably of Ellie's arm, holding a shank with tree roots.
Is it a prison shank?
It's the world of The Last of Us, so it is. It's made out of scissors. Scissors and duct tape.
It's a good object to make a shank out of.
And butterflies, with a background of, like, roots. Whereas the other one seems to be a more masculine hand holding a hammer. So people are assuming this is Joel. With a forest backdrop at night. A car on fire in the middle of it, lighting up the forest behind it. And with the silhouette of the hand and the forest background, there's an image of a wolf's head being lightened up by the flame of the car. I don't know if you saw that. You can take a second look.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's very deep meaning to that.
So it's, people are wondering, what is the deep meaning behind that wolf? People are assuming this is Joel's hand. So they're wondering, does it mean that Joel's a lone wolf in this game? Or do they mean that there's, like, a wolf, like, you know, something hunting you down?
Ooh.
A lot to unpack.
Food for thought right there.
Here's some more food for tots. Food for tots.
So, yeah, you know, the next charity is going to hit big, you know, Food for Tots.
Yeah, so, it's where we feed children tater tots. Exclusively tater tots.
Yes. To poor children.
To poor children. Because we feel that it's nutritious. And delicious.
And it contains a fair amount of energy due to the high carbohydrate content of the potato.
And it's a food type that if you can't finish it in one sitting, well, I mean, you get to take it with you in your pockets or your backpacks. It's a food that's safe to take along the road. You don't have to worry about a mess.
Potatoes are definitely not a messy root, because it is a root, it grows underground. It's interesting how we eat things that are just covered in dirt, yet they're so delicious.
Some of the most delicious. I like potatoes that come from my garbage dump.
Garbage potatoes. Oh, those are great, yes. I once went to a McDonald's dumpster and dug out a lot of their fries, and they're week-old fries, but they still tasted quite delicious.
Mmm, that extra crispy factor.
Yes, yes.
And the beef fat.
The sun would keep the fries toasty.
Oh, and the garbage dump acted as an oven?
Yes, like a little incubator, yes. Yeah, so,
fascinating.
Yes, yes. A lot of the fries were actually growing more potatoes, so it was like you were having two potatoes in one.
It's a fry that keeps on giving.
Yes. Yes. Very generous fry.
Indeed. Atari Box. We have more information about the Atari Box.
Ooh.
It's going to be a full PC experience for the TV.
So it's a PC?
It's a Linux-based system.
A PC?
It's going to cost somewhere around $250 to $300. It's going to be crowdfunded on Indiegogo. It's also going to have some Atari games, some classic Atari games built into the console. Expected to launch late spring in 2018. But it'll also play newer games as well. No information. Let's see here. It's going to be powered by a custom AMD processor with Radeon graphics.
Ooh, multi-cores.
Vivendi is not sure if they want to sell their stock in Ubisoft. And of course...
Oh, so now they want to sell the stock?
They're not sure.
Now they're not doing a hostile takeover? Did they get scared?
They're at about...
Did 20, Ubisoft fight back?
26 to 28% of the stock of Ubisoft. Once they hit 30%, they can push a vote for a hostile takeover.
Hmm.
But they're not...
I really hope Ubisoft owns 50% of their own stock. 51% of their own stock.
But, apparently Ubisoft is a family business.
Frenchman.
The Guillermo family, I guess, has run that business. But...
Guillermo del Toro?
No. Last name, Guillermo.
Sounded so similar, I got confused, yeah.
Right. One Spanish.
Yes. Just like French is Spanish.
Right. That's why the Spanish and the French get along so well together, because they speak the same language.
Yes, quite. Right. Latin languages are all the same. Just different spellings.
Apparently, Vivendi at one point had requested a seat at the board. And was denied.
Ooh. Doesn't feel good to get denied.
Yeah. And Guillermo has been actively telling the other members of the board that a game company cannot thrive under the arm of a media corporation. They don't have the same mentalities that a game company needs of freedom to be able to explore new ideas.
America. America's full of freedoms. Like the freedom to take a knee.
That's why you're taking a knee right now?
Do I hear the national anthem? Yes. Yes, I do.
I don't think you have to hear the national anthem anymore. I've seen a bunch of people just take pictures and they'll take a knee.
Now they're just taking knees?
Yeah. Now they're just taking knees and saying, I support.
Oh, man. There we go.
Yeah, these Canadian seltzer waters really...
Turned me into an outright Canadian for a second there, dude. Did you hear me? Jesus Christ.
What about that?
I don't know. It's just, Mounties and horses.
Yeah, real sorry about that one, eh?
All right.
Australia.
Who else is Canadian?
My brother. Technically, at this point, because he married a Canadian, so he's a Canadian citizen.
Ooh, sucks to be that nerd.
Well, I mean, he's married.
To a Canadian, though.
French-Canadian.
Ooh, those are the worst!
And I think, like, Russian?
Wait, what? A Russian-French-Canadian?
She's like, if I'm not mistaken, she was born in Russia, adopted as a child to a French-Canadian.
Oh, Jesus. That's a story right there.
Apparently it's pretty common to adopt Russian children. There's actually, I've met like two or three.
So Russians are abandoning their children? Or they're getting murdered? By Putin?
It doesn't have to be Putin, I mean.
Putin's henchmen?
There's a lot of like, you know, a lot of stuff can happen in Russia.
Ah, yes.
It's like the Wild West. It's pretty much the Wild West of today's era.
But with missiles and machine guns.
Yeah, machine guns. I mean, the Wild West had machine guns of a much bigger sort.
Yes, I did see that Will Smith movie. You are correct.
Well, they also did actually have that in real life. I mean, technically, you know, the Civil War was during the Wild Wild West period. And they were using Gatling guns in the Civil War.
Not in California, they weren't.
No, not in California.
California was suffering from a mega flood.
Yeah, so that means the Wild Wild West Didn't have machine
California
guns.
California wasn't the Wild Wild West.
No, but Custer's Last Stand, I believe, also had a Gatling gun, which would have been in Texas, I think.
How is California not the Wild Wild West? It is the westest.
Hmm. I don't know. Isn't Alaska the westest?
Northwestest.
North by Northwestest.
Alright, I'm out of that Canada stuff.
God, dude, I don't want to turn into a Canadian.
We'll finish it. Well, I talk about PlayStation Australia.
Australia!
Australia!
Hell yeah! Homie, what you know about Australia?
That's as they say down in Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
They say down in Australia.
Well, they say that, hey, if you're a real good player, you beat a certain number of games with Platinum Trophies, you might get yourself an actual PlayStation Platinum Trophy physically.
Oh.
A real physical Platinum Trophy. I don't think the trophy's actually Platinum, but it's made to look very much like the Platinum Trophy.
Arigato gozaimasu.
It's quite beautiful.
It looks pretty, pretty authentic there.
Yeah. So basically what you have to do is you have to get a Platinum in FIFA 18 from September 26th. And then you also eventually will have to get a Platinum in Gran Turismo Sport and Call of Duty World War II.
Three Platinums. In a month's time?
It doesn't seem to have an end date. It just says starts, well, today, actually.
So, three games that I would never play.
Yep.
That doesn't seem fair.
You also don't live in Australia, so.
I'm sure there are Australians who don't play that type of game.
Well, they're not entering this trophy then. Competition. They'll wait for the next one.
Hashtag wait for the next one.
Speaking of waiting for the next one, the Chinese Room, the team that was behind.
Ooh, speaking of Chinese, I got a story about a Japanese.
Alright, fine, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Forget it. Read the Chinese story. Chinese, go.
So the Chinese Room, developers of Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, Dear Esther, and Amnesia, the Dark Descent, or the Pigs one, actually.
Wait, Dear Esther was the same developer as Amnesia?
I think it might have been the pig one, though. Not a Machine for Pigs.
Yeah. Right. The second one.
Yeah.
That still surprises me. They're the same publisher.
Yeah, but they've essentially have taken a shutdown leave of absence. They've laid off about, like, they have, like, five members left that they haven't laid off. That includes, like, the main people.
The only people who don't know anything about how to actually make a video game.
So Pinchak, co-founder Jessica Curry, and designer Andrew Crawshaw are remaining part of the studio. And they're closing down temporarily. Currently working on two or three different games. None of them were a walking simulator. They were past walking simulators. They were working on two or three different games. They were getting some crunch time scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. And the leads, apparently, on those games weren't doing crunch. They're, apparently, Pinchak saying they were getting stuff like, oh yeah, we worked till 7. And the guy's like, that's not crunch. And they wouldn't work on the weekends. You know, it's crunch time, you know? You gotta buckle down, get those Japanese work tickets, and sleep at the office. Crunch time. Video games. They're used to this. So apparently that wasn't happening. It was causing a lot of stress and a lot of, like, issues. And they decided, you know what? We just need to take a break. We're gonna shut down. Everybody's laid off. Except for us head honchos. Because it's our company, damn it. And they'll eventually come back, presumably.
Okay. Well, I like Dear Esther.
Yeah. I like that Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
And I haven't played Amnesia yet. I have it, but I haven't played it.
Well, you should do it on stream. I love watching you get scared.
I love getting scared.
That's weird.
It's not weird. How is that weird? That's why people go to, like, scary things, man. It's because they know they're going to get scared because they like it. It's the thrill, you know?
No, it's because they like the characters and the situations. They like the excitement of overcoming adversity.
It's the tension of getting scared. For me.
Well, anyway, that's interesting and sad news, because I do like that team. Apparently you're working on a VR game called So Let Us Melt.
As so well as Let Us What?
Let Us Melt. And a survival horror RPG called 13th Interior. Survival horror RPG. Reminds me of Parasite Eve.
Parasite Eve was good.
It was good. I gotta go back and play that again.
I never actually finished the damn game. I
never finished it either.
Yeah.
But I can play on my Vita.
Yay!
Yeah.
I can play on...
your PS3.
Yay!
Yeah.
So, our sales rep from Yamasa came to work again.
Yamasa.
So I had a meeting with him. It was just me and him. We did a one-on-one. A little solo action.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you gave him the old, howdy duty greeting.
So the, konnichiwa, watashi wa, Jeffrey Davis.
Wash his back in the men's salon.
Sponge bath, all right. But but anyway, so we probably spent about over an hour in the conference room. And most of that time was talking about Japan and Japanese culture.
Is this another story where you try to go out and say, like, a Japanese man said I spoke very good Japanese?
No, he said I spoke very bad Japanese.
Really?
Because my Japanese sucks. He said my pronunciation was pretty good, but I didn't know how to speak, like, shit.
You didn't know your conjunctions and all that stuff, yeah.
So, but we mostly talked about, you know, Japanese culture and, you know, the going-ons of Japan. Because he's from Japan. He's from Osaka. So...
Hey, he's from Osaka?
Yeah.
Is that the island?
I believe so.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, they know about the culture of Japan.
So here's what he told me. He told me that, like the true Japanese language is only spoken in Tokyo. Like, everything around Tokyo is a dialect of Japanese, you know?
Right.
And I was like, really? Like, just Tokyo? He's like, yeah. Like, just Tokyo is, like, straight up, like, you know, I guess the authentic Japanese or whatever.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of crazy. I didn't realize that. Oh. And I asked him, do you understand the you know, Tokyo, Japan? And he's like, yeah, we understand each other, but a lot of times I'll be like, what the hell are you saying? And I was like,
That actually makes sense. I knew a guy that lived around Tokyo, in that Tokyo area, like Akihabara and stuff like that. That's where he grew up. And, like, I think he mentioned at one point that, like, Osaka is basically, like, the Hicks of Japan. They're the country bumpkins of Japan.
Oh my god, okay.
You know, like the rednecks or whatever. So it would make sense they wouldn't understand each other that well, too. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, so I started talking about, you know, Mexico, how the, you know, there's the indigenous people that have their own complete language, and, you know, then you have the different areas that have different slang, and everybody in Mexico speaks in slang, you know? It's never a proper Spanish in Mexico, like, ever.
Oh,
and a lot of things, like, you'll hear...
That's not
true. Yeah? Who?
Well, I mean, granted, these are all people that are, like, you know, 30 years older than me, so...
You're talking about the old generation, bruh.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, yeah. In Jalisco, there's a lot of people that didn't speak in slang.
Yeah, that's over. That's so over.
I mean, in general, like, even the younger people didn't necessarily speak in slang, but it also could just be the product of the parentage.
Perhaps. No, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, we started talking about anime, video games...
Oh, he started food. Talking about anime? He was like, oh god, no.
We didn't spend that much time on the anime.
Not another damn otaku.
But we talked about the language itself, like the kanji, you know, versus hiragana, katakana. And he was telling me that if you just write, like, in hiragana or something like that, like, it's hard to read without the kanji in there. Because it all looks just like a jumbled mess, basically. So he said, like, it has to have the kanji in there, or else. He said, if I saw something that just had hiragana in it. Like, nothing but hiragana, I wouldn't even bother reading it.
Now, not all our audience will know exactly what the difference is between the three different alphabets.
So it's just three different ways of writing and
so one has a lot of... One is mostly Chinese characters.
Adopted, but yeah. Changed.
But essentially, if you see Japanese writing that looks mostly like mostly like Chinese characters, it is.
Kanji. You keep saying Chinese characters.
'Cause that's,
it bothers me.
It's where it came from.
Japan is its own country.
But it came from when China occupied Japan. I mean, they share 90% of the same myths.
They don't like each other.
But they are intrinsically connected.
Yes. But that's why they changed the kanji. So it wouldn't be Chinese anymore. This is not something that he told me. I'm just kind of making this up as I go right now.
You're projecting your hatred so for other cultures. That Canadian must have really come out of you,
man.
Right now.
It's Canadian dry, man. It's just—it's really messing me up.
Is it?
But
it sounds like you're getting back to normal.
And the other two, the hiragana katakana, I don't remember which one's which, but there's one used for like straight up like Japanese writing, like Japanese words, and then the other one's used for more like English words that are, you know, spelled out in Japanese, basically.
Yeah,
like the word I guess for knife is knife, so they spell it in the whatever which one it is.
I believe it's the katagana. That's the for the foreign words.
Mm.
Yeah, basically when they
like juice.
Yeah,
because it's juice.
When they can't translate a word into Japanese letter system, they use katagana. I believe it's katagana, and they just phonetically spell it out essentially.
So I asked about the, and so he went on to tell me that, you know, sometimes there's words that mean the, you know, have two different meanings or something like that, and so they use the kanji, the Chinese characters,
mm-hmm.
to differentiate a lot easier between the two, because kanji is one symbol for
one word
for one meaning.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to like, you know, words with two meanings. So you know, spelled out in the Japanese alphabet, the hiragana would be you know, same spelling for both, but the kanji would have a different kanji for depending on the meaning that you're trying to use. And then in the animes, they use kanji, but they have the hiragana like written on the top of the kanjis. You ever notice that?
No, I haven't.
They do it a lot with Dragon Ball.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure about the, you know, other animes, but I know that one for sure. And, you know, it's for children's. It's for the children's.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're able to read it if they don't know the kanji yet.
Right, because kanji is always the most difficult thing to learn in any language that involves kanji.
One per word, man. One per word.
And there's hundreds of them.
And China has it the worst, dude. China has the words. You forget a few symbols, dude, you can't write a letter.
But the thing is it's not that complicated, because there's the root symbol, and then things get added to it as needed for history. For instance, I know a Chinese guy, and the word for car in Chinese, the symbol for car in Chinese, is like literally translated to like self-powered horse buggy or something like that.
I swear to God, if you claw my head...
I'm sorry. It was a one-time thing, dude. but so like if you understand like so you can extrapolate, based off your knowledge of the root word, and what the different additions would mean.
You know how many
like
different
that.
Words there are? There's a lot.
I'm saying it's
more than 10,000 words.
I'm saying it's if you know the word for like horse buggy, you can transform that into the word for car because it's the same root.
You have to learn more than 10,000 symbols. That's a lot to learn.
Sorry, not everybody's...
A lot to memorize, a lot to remember.
Yeah, not everybody's fluent in all that, even in the languages that they come from.
It's crazy,
dude. In the country
dude.
That they come from. Yeah. In fact, actually, that's a big problem in Japan, actually. I'm not sure if it still is, but for
in
a
Japan?
While it was. Yeah, where the younger generation just couldn't read older things because they couldn't understand the kanji. Like, because they had become so far removed from using kanji that it was harder for them to read, like, older material.
So he told me the price of soy sauce went up like 17%.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot.
And then you're like, business is done. Get out of here.
I told him we were speaking to Kikkoman. And he's like, oh, no, you know, if you take them in the totes instead of the barrels, we can keep the price the same. Because, you know, it's a lot more volume. And the funny thing about that is that I'm changing everything into like plastic totes.
Oh, that works for you.
Yeah, it's less of a mess. You can see how much you have left in a tote. You know, it's a clear tote. You can totally see where the level's at.
Yeah.
So like, it just makes it a lot easier for everybody.
But it's gonna be as good.
It's the same soy sauce, yeah.
But a barrel, you get that.
It's a plastic barrel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I had a good beer. It was used a bourbon barrel. Aged in a bourbon barrel. It's Anderson Valley. They actually had it on sale in Nob Hill for like $8. You know, it's like one of those $13 bottles.
Oh, those big bottles, those corky ones. Always corked.
But, yeah, it wasn't corked, but yeah, it was one of those bigger bottles. But I had it on sale for $8, and I tried it out. It was pretty good. Pretty smooth. Pretty bourbon-y.
Ooh.
Mm. I'd definitely say worth a shot. Give it a try.
Ah, I see what you did there.
So, the voice actor strike is over. It's done. They did not get what they wanted, but they did get some marginal improvements. For instance, the voice actors now get to... Now they get to know what game they're working on. And also, what type of game it's going to be, so they can tell if their voice is going to be used in a game that has a lot of violence or sexual content or, you know, cursing and stuff like that. But I guess before they didn't know that. They would just take the job, do the lines, and then find out what it was later. But having all this information beforehand, because they get to know if it's a popular franchise and stuff like that, allows their... agents to negotiate better deals because they know how successful the property already is.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Also, they get bonuses now depending on how long they have to work or how long of a period they have to work. Up to a total of $2,100. So $75 in the first session, up to a total of $2,500 if you work 10 or more sessions.
Some increasing pay.
Now, originally what they had wanted was a bit of a royalty system, kind of like how movie actors get royalties.
That seems...
And they wanted a royalty system up to $3,200, something like that. So, like, if it's sold...
Don't royalties kick in, like, when something is already done and somebody else replays it?
I think there's a couple different types of royalties.
Yeah, like...
I'm not sure exactly, but the one they were pitching, which I assume if they're pitching it, something that probably already exists in regular Hollywood, but they were pitching a like sales figure royalty system. So if the game hit certain milestones of sales, like, you know, 2 million copies sold, you know, 4 million, 6 million, whatever, certain milestones of sales, they would get a royalty check.
Like an incentive to do a good job.
Yeah. I mean, it's not also just completely not in your control anyway. Not in the voice actor's control anyway. They're just doing the job, and if the game just happens to do pretty well and their voice gets proliferated across the world, great. They get more money out of it. Because it's their voice. Now, the Voice Actors Guild is not upset that they didn't get that, because they did get those other improvements. I think there might be a couple other minor ones in there, too, somewhere. Which, you know, again, helps negotiate better rates. They actually apparently get the... be told if they're working on a sequel now or something like that. Which I guess they weren't beforehand. And it shows it's a minor improvement, so that when the next time if they do another strike, you know, they show that they can get some improvements. Yeah. It's a win loss scenario. But that strike was going for a year.
That's pretty damn long, yeah.
I mean, Ashley Birch, who was the voice for the main character in Life is Strange, had to give up her role for the sequel because of the strike. A couple other voice actors had to give up, like, some of their more prominent roles because of the strike. You got some scabs? Yeah, essentially. I mean, these are voice actor
guild. Voice actor scabs.
Voice actor guild strike. Scabs. It's not voice actor. I mean, I guess you could take a knee for voice actors if you wanted to as another voice actor.
Someone's got to do the job, man.
Yeah.
And somebody wants to get paid, so...
I mean, do we want to go back to the days of 80s anime dubs? No, we don't. We don't want to go there.
You said Cowboy Bebop.
It was not 80s.
Wasn't it?
It was like 2000s. Maybe...
Cowboy Bebop,
maybe no. Late 90s.
Cowboy Bebop was not, definitely not 2000s. Definitely not.
You're right. It was probably like mid-90s.
I feel like it was in the 80s.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, late 80s, bro.
Oh. Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, no?
That show looked way too good for the 80s, dude. Like, Robotech was 80s.
The eStore, the Nintendo Switch eStore.
1998 anime television series, animated by Sunrise.
Yeah, crazy. I really felt like it was a lot before that.
Too good.
I don't know why. Just felt like so long ago. Nintendo's offering a 25% discount, which never happens to any video game that they ever sell.
For what game?
Thumper.
How's Thumper?
Thumper is,
Oh, that's a VR game that's now coming to the Switch.
It's Rhythm Violence.
Yeah, well, you're the Scarab.
Yeah.
That's a fun game, actually.
So...
You played it, right?
No, I actually never played it.
Oh. We had a demo.
So they actually, they're actually offering a 25% discount.
Why?
On the Nintendo eStore. I don't know, but that never happens, dude.
Yeah, especially a brand new
game.
There's
no sales. No sales on Nintendo. It's crazy.
This must have been a developer thing.
I guess they might be paying for the other 25%.
Right, because Nintendo wouldn't let that money go.
that's the thing with coupons. The same thing, right? When we sell, when we have a big what do we call it?
You guys special have coupons? Sale.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
So
it's a nice level.
Yeah, so we pay for everything, all the money that people save, we pay for it.
Right.
Yeah. Because the stores don't lose out on anything.
Right. Because they would go under with all the coupons that they have to offer.
Coupons, man, they're crazy.
Coupons.
So it's it's the same kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. That's cool. Huh?
It's crazy how much money you have to pay to actually get into stores. Oh my god, it's ridiculous.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You have to pay the stores?
You have to pay the stores for them to sell your crap.
So then, what do they do?
Sell your crap.
I thought they bought your crap. And then
they do, but you have to pay them a crap ton of money for them to even have your stuff in there in the first place.
I'm confused now.
Like big stores, right? Say you're, you know,
Nobile.
Think more Walmart. Okay. Bigger. But Nobile too. I don't think Nobile's as extreme, but Walmart, say you get three full shelves. Freezer shelves at Walmart, right?
Right.
Well, I got to give Walmart $150,000 if I want to sell my stuff there. So I have to pay them $150,000, and then
they buy your stuff. It doesn't make sense. The math doesn't make sense.
It's a crazy amount of money, dude. And the thing is, you have to do that to get your product out there.
I mean, is it subsidized by the price of the product you're giving them?
No.
So
it's like you go on three shelves, you pay $150,000.
You pay $150,000, and then they buy your stuff, so they're giving you back some of that money.
So you're essentially not making any money at first. When you start out, you don't make money, especially if you want your item to be big, you know, if you want to sell it in department stores and grocery stores, whatever.
That makes a little bit of sense, but you're already big.
So you didn't start out big. And you still have to pay. Like if you get new, if you want new shelves, you still have to pay.
But, I mean, do you have to keep paying, or is that, like, a one-time payment?
No, 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 it's a one-time. It's a one-time deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's a one-time deal. So, but it's...
How long does the payment get you?
It all depends on the story and how you're selling. So, you know, every year they have like, a little changeover to where they get rid of the stuff that's not selling.
Right.
And, you know, open up the shelves for new stuff. So, And also, if you can't keep your shelf stocked, you will lose the shelf.
You forfeit it. Yeah. So it's kind of like an eBay thing, kind of. You're bidding, your companies bid for a shelf space.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I mean, it's up to you whether you lose it or not, really.
Right.
And I'm obviously the consumer, too, if they like the product. But it's just, it's pretty freaking cutthroat, man.
So you guys have meetings, or, like, the management comes in and is like, all right, guys. Safeway's got a new shelf opening up. We really need to get that shelf.
Something along those lines, yeah. Yeah, I don't think it goes exactly like that, but it's just, you know, like, in every year, like, you know, it's just you, like, saying, hey, I want two more shelf spaces, you know? And they're like, all right, give me this money, and then we actually send them samples, and I don't know who in their
corporate... Who eats them?
Yeah, they'll try it and be like, oh yeah, this is probably so, you know, like, and then they decide on that. They decide on our samples.
Do they have to take an entire line, like your bowls, or can it be like, well,
no, they take like three. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they do that. I'm just like, this one, the other ones, yeah.
The other ones made my daughter cry.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you could have just said we don't want them. You didn't have to.
My daughter is a mess. She just stopped eating. She was disappointed in food. But it's a thing, and it's crazy to learn how this stuff really works, you know?
Right. Yeah, I would have. I'm surprised. I mean, I would have figured that you just gave them, like, a free shipment to try, see if it's something they want to carry based off sales. Not that you actually...
They make so much money just doing that.
Just having people try to sell their stuff.
Imagine they charge, like, $75,000 per shelf.
Right.
How many shelves are they selling?
So many.
I mean, how many shelves are in the store?
So insane. It's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, whoever thought of that racket's genius.
It's pretty standard now.
Right?
So, anywho, Nintendo's becoming a pretty popular company nowadays.
Yeah?
Yeah, man, they're doing great.
I know, I mean, they're getting Wolfenstein 2.
Waking the sleeping giant, man.
Right?
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not going to do as great as a PlayStation 4 and Xbox, but they're doing pretty great in their own right, dude.
I mean, especially considering probably how much they put into the actual development of that console, like, right, yeah, because they never...
Well, they're not taking a loss on
this. They never take a loss, yeah, so.
And, I mean, if we're not taking a loss, $300 for a console isn't that much, really.
Yeah, I mean... They get like $20 back from console, maybe. But hey, at least they can say they're not taking a loss, right?
Yes, sir.
But, I'm still not 100% on it. Like, I like the concept. I love the novelty of it. It's just... I need a 3DS lineup on it. Right? And
That's why you have a 3DS!
They do these Nindy showcases, yeah, but the 3DS is gonna get phased out. It's gonna get phased out.
It won't.
So they have these Nindy showcases that shows me the promise of a 3DS library, and at the same time, I'm like, why the hell can't I get that on my 3DS? Because it's a 2D-bit fighter that's like, looks like it belongs on the Neo Geo Pocket color.
Excuse me.
Damn you, Pocket Rumble. You should have been on the Neo Geo Pocket color, because that's what all the fighting games on that system look like. That's great. It's a great fighter system. Man, I gotta dig that thing out. Find some old games.
Oh, something that came up to you during the conversation with the guy from Yamasa.
Yeah.
So we started talking about video games, right? And so the focus turned into, you know, what kind of games you play, what are you playing right now? And we started talking about, like, fighting games and tournaments and stuff. No, Twitch. We started talking about Twitch first. He didn't know about Twitch.
He didn't know about... Oh, no, because he got Nico Nico and stuff like that.
Yeah, so he didn't... he was asking me, what is Twitch? You know, and I showed him a little clip of one of my recorded videos and stuff. And I gave him the run-through of, like, how to basically do the thing. And I told him about the... And I know this is, like, this is something that is used in Japan, too. Because, Daigo Umehara has a Twitch also. And he's like, what is Daigo Umehara? And I was like, what? Oh, my God, dude. And he's like... He was, like, one of the greatest fighting game players. Nowadays, he doesn't do as well, but, I think his prime has passed. But he has a lot of trophies when it comes to fighting games. And he plays in major tournaments, and I told him, so you don't know Daigo Umehara, like, at all. You never heard the name. And he's like, no. And I was like, what about, Kazunoko? He's like, Kazunoko? Sounds like something I order in a restaurant.
Oh, sick burns. It was hella
funny, dude.
Sick burns.
It was hella funny.
Dude, my God. Next time somebody's in a fight with Kazunoko and they want to throw some salt and be like, oh, can I get some fries with that?
Burn. Double burn. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I love this guy, dude.
Oh, so does he really play games, or is he...
Yeah, he's a gamer.
Okay.
He has a Switch.
Oh, he has a Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah, he brought it over, shut it off. He's like, look what you don't have.
I told him I don't have one. He's like, oh, you have Wii and Wii U? I was like, yeah. He's like, I don't play the Wii U as much as I do the Wii. Played more Wii than I did Wii U. And he's like, yeah, me too.
So. It's like, yeah, the Wii U sucked.
So, yeah, it was fun. I like that guy. Hope he comes back. He will come back.
Yeah. You're doing good business.
Yeah.
Speaking of Japanese tournaments, did you hear that they're doing a... what's the really big one you like a lot down here?
The what now?
The really big fighting tournament you like.
Talking about NorCal Regionals?
No, the other one.
Fighting game tournament that I like.
The really, really big one.
Capcom?
Evo?
Yeah, Evo. They're doing the Japanese Evo.
Jesus Christ. I figured you remember Evo. You were talking about something else. Because Evo is Evo, man.
The name, it's just one of those things. The name was just slipping my mind. I couldn't dredge it up. I was thinking of the Japanese men talking about Wii U's.
So they're making a Japanese Evo.
Yeah. Apparently, I think this year or next year is going to be the first Japanese Evo.
Be nice to have a second, like, large tournament like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it is a pretty large, even in the Capcom Cup, like, point system, it was a pretty big one. And so, like, it forces a bunch of people to come to America, and who wants to do that?
I mean, as long as the money's there, people will come.
It's true.
You get a good prize pool, dude, and that's it. I mean, people will go there.
They will gather.
They will gather.
And we'll be able to see a bunch of more of the crazy Japanese fighting games, too, probably, too. Like, do you know there's a...
Oh, my God, like JoJo's Adventure, or what is it?
Or Fist of the North Star, that literally...
There's a fighting game?
That literally has a one-hit KO combo. That's, like, the super move because it's Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
There's... I forget, you have to, like... I read about it, and it's, like, kind of a weird system. But, like, once you have it set up, you can just hit the combo, like, at the start of a fight, and you just win the round.
Almost seems unfair, but it is what it is.
Because it's Fist of North Star. I think it takes like 2 or 3 rounds to actually build up enough meter to do it or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can do it. Which I thought was awesome.
I'm going to look into that because I didn't even realize I had a fighting game.
Apparently there's only like 3 arcade machines left or something like that. Like it's a very like...
Oh, it's not something on console?
No, it was a very niche. It was a very niche thing. Okay. But people love this, so they still hold tournaments and stuff like that.
Huh. That's cool though.
Mm-hmm. Now, Atlus has filed a copyright strike against a emulator. This emulator is RPCS3, open source PlayStation 3 emulator. The reason they filed a strike against it is because the emulator advertised that you could emulate Persona 5. Don't advertise that you can emulate the brand new game that a company just put out. Yeah, that's going to get you in trouble. Do like a game that's like 4 years old. You can probably get away with that a little bit easier than just came out like 2 months ago.
Or you can just say you can emulate any game or something. Lie a little bit.
Yeah.
The Fist of the North Star PS4 game. There's some gameplay of it.
Oh, does it look good?
I didn't actually see it, but Omae wa mou shinde. You're already dead. I don't know why that's in the caption. Oh, because it's with the North Star. You're already dead. Yeah. Or is this actually the fighting game? It's not the fighting game, is it?
Alright, so I'm going to talk about a story while you watch that with the volume off.
Japanese, man, it's awesome!
So Valve yanked 173 games from the Steam store today. Most, if not all of them, were tied to a company by the name of Silent Echo Studios. Now, this is a company that's become notorious, another company that's become notorious for putting a bunch of shovelware games on the store as quickly as possible with, like, borrowed assets from Unity Engine and stuff like that. Like, pretty much doing as little to no possible work as they can to make this game just so they can kind of get a quick buck.
Is this why I'm seeing a lot of, like, stupid, like, phone games on Steam?
I mean, phone games are phone games, but yeah.
I mean,
it's an open source market. People are always going to try to make a quick buck. Which sucks, because there's a lot of small games that you start to look at them, you start to think that they're quick buck games that are trash, but they're actually pretty fun, good, well-made games. Yeah. But sometimes you just can't tell them apart.
So it ruined it for everybody, yeah?
Yeah, but Steam, you know, Steam's taking them down when they can find them.
Yeah. Sucks for the little guy.
So seriously, we give him the boot.
The boot.
The boot.
What else was there? I didn't see too much more. Nothing really huge that was happening. I'm playing a new game.
Oh, on your phone?
On the phone, yeah.
Yeah. Did you go back to Brave Exvius?
Nah, I never went back. But I should at one point.
You won't.
Just to go through the story. I don't want to. If I go back to the game, I won't go through all the like little stupid side quests like that take forever.
Right. You
know? And it's just, I'm just going to go through the story. Because it is, there's a story driven, so. But it's like a, you know, it's a gem matching kind of card game collecting, guild building, you know, communicate with the rest of the players.
Right, right.
Guild versus guild, player versus player.
Everybody's favorite.
Special event, type of game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I actually even started chatting with the players in my guild.
Because you love talking to people.
I don't love talking to people. I hate people, dude.
How come you always talk to people, then?
Because I'm drunk. Or they can't see me. Either I'm drunk or they can't see me.
You're getting rid of tickets, huh?
Huh?
You're getting rid of tickets?
Tickets what?
If you want to get 2 tickets to Sublime with Rome, playing yeah. with Offspring.
Nobody responded, and one guy actually... One guy messaged me.
They're still available, right?
No, they're not available anymore.
Oh, the one guy got them?
Yeah. Both? Okay. Well, nobody else responded, so it's concerts tomorrow.
Right, right.
I got them for free, so I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, I just barely even saw it right now. Wait, you were talking.
What?
About your phone game.
Oh, yeah. The phone game. So, yeah, I've been, like, actually... chatting it up in the guild.
Yeah.
Right? You know, saying hi to the new players, even though I'm a new player in that guild.
Do you jump in the guild and you just start typing in Tootsie Roll?
No, I don't. But the cool thing, I got promoted within the guild. Because I was so chatty, I guess.
Yeah,
because
you're talking to the person you like talking to.
And nobody else, there's only like 2 people that talk in the guild.
Right.
And I just like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to, whatever, talk to these guys. So I did it, and I got promoted. Doesn't really do anything for me game-wise.
No, but
it makes me look more important.
It gives you an extra little tab in the chat for the little management meetings.
Yeah. So, yeah, whatever.
So it's fine. It means you're hooked now. You can't delete the scam.
No, I'll see how long it takes.
Now you're involved. Now you have a community a bit around it, though.
And one day I'm just going to not stop playing. And they're going to be like, did he die? Did he die? Because he was a chatter. He was a chatter, man.
Yeah, he was here. He was all the time. He wouldn't give up on us. We're number 15. We're going to make it to number 13 this week.
And then they see me fighting them from a different guild. Oh, yeah.
But all their secrets in tow, you were a saboteur the entire time.
Saboteur, baby!
Sent in to gain their trust.
Doesn't really do anything.
No.
But yeah.
Gives you a story to tell, I guess. Hey, kids.
For the children's.
Yeah. Did I tell you about the one time I became a saboteur? You were a secret agent? Yeah. It was his phone game. God damn it, Dad.
Not again.
Not another phone game story.
Remember that one time I played that Final Fantasy Exvius? Are you just going to say you never finished it and then go back to it? It happened, man.
There's just, you know, life lesson here. Like, never give up.
My children are going to hear about video games. That's going to be my grandpa talk, dude. Yeah.
Oh my god, that is going to be our grandpa talk.
Yeah, dude.
It's a sad time.
Destiny 2. I remember I was playing Destiny 2 for every day for 25 hours a day.
I remember back in Destiny when you had to grind. No, Dad, you just give him an extra $20 and you're just there. You're done. Game's over.
But I was a poor bastard.
I remember my day. The government didn't like poor people.
That will never change. Vegan.
No, it's going to be when Michael J. Fox is elected into office. It's going to change things, man.
He's going to shake things up.
Not cool, dude.
You get it? You get it because he's crazy. He's crazy.
You don't make crazy like a fox?
Oh, man. Dude, if he goes into government, man, he'll definitely become a wolf. This has been great. Oh, Michael J. Fox, we love you, bro.
No, yeah, he's like one of my favorite actors of all time.
Yeah.
Like, of all time.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't get to do too many. But
he did a few, dude. And then he was on Scrubs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was such a good two-parter.
Yeah, he was I believed him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also on Curb Your Enthusiasm as himself.
Really? It
was such a funny...
I ever saw any of those episodes.
Yeah, I didn't watch the show too much. It was only like one episode, I know.
Was it HBO?
I think
so. It was an HBO show,
yeah,
right?
I think it was an HBO show. But that was like one of the funniest episodes ever, because the main guy, you know, he's convinced that Michael J. Fox is like... Because he offered him soda, and he opened up the soda, and like it's sprayed all over him, because you know, because he's shaking a lot.
Oh, you didn't want to say it, huh? You didn't want to say it.
No, he has Parkinson's. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, you feel better now?
But, I figured giving a more visual description would be more usable. And so, like, and stuff like that, and he stomps, I guess, because I guess it's a thing when you're walking, you kind of, like, stomp when you have Parkinson's.
Oh, like you're killing ants.
Yeah.
Like you walk like a real man.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, he lived up above him in the show. And so he was like, he wanted to complain, like, hey, you gotta stop stomping, and so whatever. And he's like, I guess you have to wear rubber boots to protect your feet.
Huh.
Because you can't really control how hard you're hitting, or whatever.
That's crazy.
So he's, you know, Michael
I'm
J. Fox.
I'm learning something right now.
Michael J. Fox is like explaining, like, you know, what it is, stuff like that. He offers him soda. He offers him soda, and it explodes all over the main character. And, like, the whole episode's about, like, he's convinced that Michael J. Fox did it on purpose. And his friend's like, you know, he has Parkinson's, right? Like, no, yeah, I know he has Parkinson's, but this wasn't the Parkinson's.
What's that old man's name?
I don't even
remember. I never remember his name.
Yeah.
But like, I like the guy.
He co-wrote Seinfeld. Like, I think George is supposed to be based off...
Larry
something. Larry...
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, the character... Because him and Jerry Seinfeld, I guess, are the ones that wrote Seinfeld. And George is apparently based off of him. Which makes sense, because in the final seasons of... They make the Seinfeld show in the show, you know, Jerry and George Costanza mimicking real life.
Never.
Larry Davis?
I don't remember.
That sounds right to me.
I never saw like a full run of Seinfeld.
It's on Hulu. All like 10 seasons or 8 seasons, whatever it was.
You went on for a pretty long time, man.
Yeah.
Simpsons will never die.
It should die. I don't even know if any of like the original writers are on there anymore. Couldn't they like just get rid of like the last like original
the music guy?
Yeah,
they fired the music guy recently.
I mean, the most iconic things of the Simpsons are the little jingles that guy came up with.
Yeah, your music's old, bro. You can't come up with new things, man.
I guess
we need a new guy. We need a hipster here.
We need somebody who's gonna bring in wind chimes and electric guitar.
And what are those? What's that electric kind of hover over making sound things?
Oh,
what's that called?
Theremin.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah. So they've been using those in like the 70s and 60s. Yeah.
It's coming back. I saw some guy downtown. It's coming back. He's making a comeback.
Dude, you saw a guy downtown with
us? Yeah.
Oh, man. It's
weird, dude.
My friend Davis has one. It's like a. He might not have one. I think he might really want one. He's talking about one that's like a Russian nesting doll.
Hmm.
It's like in the shape of a Russian nesting doll, but it's a theremin.
I can't picture that.
You don't know what a Russian nesting doll is?
Yeah, but I can't picture that instrument being like that.
Well, it's just, you know, you're manipulating the airwaves around the singular like antenna. That's what you're actually messing with. The magnetic waves that are emanating from that antenna, as you put your hands around it, makes the vocalization as you hear. So really the only thing that needs...
Science.
Yeah, science. It's the only instrument that needs science. Let's do that Encore Gamers question of the
week. I don't know what it was. Was it my question?
No, it was one of mine.
Okay.
What is your most damaging game moment?
Damaged game moment.
Yeah, that's the one where we had.
Oh, yeah! We couldn't figure out how to word it, yeah.
So, William SWN from Future Flix, who I've also played some Destiny with. He recently reached level 20. His first Destiny game. He wrote in to say, I covered the mountain in Minecraft with TNT and filled the cavern under it with TNT and blew it. The game crashed.
Game's not supposed to crash, man.
Welcome to PC life, homeboy.
Ooh. Did he say it was PC?
He did not. Damn. I'm wondering if you would notice that.
Okay, so is that it?
That's all we got from our fans. From our scumbags.
So there's one time I was playing Super Mario Kart with a friend, and I was just beating the crap out of him, dude, just winning and winning and winning. And meanwhile, you know, I'm happy, and then he's like, he's whatever, you know, he's losing, you know, he doesn't make a big deal out of it or anything like that. And I'm just like gloating, dude, just, you know, I'm the best, you suck, basically. And then he beats me one time. One time, and I did not want him to beat me at all that day. Like, I was like, it's all gonna be me, dude. And it pissed me off, dude. It pissed me off. I quit playing the game, and this is in my house, and he was in my room. And I quit playing the game, and I just walked out and left him there.
He's talking about that one time I beat him in Street Fighter 4.
No, that's not that one time. But I got really upset. I got really upset, and I abandoned my friend inside my own room. I thought I was, in retrospect, that was something I shouldn't have done.
Right, yeah, and, not the best.
It just, it doesn't, yeah. Not the greatest friend there, is there? Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the first time I've seen something like that happen over a video game, though.
Video games, dude.
They really tear people apart.
They create enemies, man.
Yeah. Geez, I don't know. I think one thing that really got me at one point was, had my DS, going down to L.A. with some friends, stuff like that. And, I had my DS for when they wanted to go do boring stuff that I didn't care about. Which tends to happen, yeah. I don't like
all the time.
I don't like window shopping. A lot of people like window shopping. I don't like window shopping. So I had my DS in L.A. and stuff like that, and I left it in the car because we were going out to eat. And L.A. was having a heat wave. At the time.
As they tend to do.
Apparently it got so hot that it started to... That actually damaged some of the contacts in my game.
Ooh, that's not good.
Right. And that really sucked. I was pretty like... It could kind of work, but it would randomly freeze because it would lose contact. While inside of the cartridge. Oh,
damn,
like
dude.
So, I mean, luckily I found that... Well, recently I found that there is a bit of a fix around. Like a easy fix for that type of thing. And that's just like... You put the game in, and you shove a piece of paper underneath the game in between the console and the game, and it pushes the contacts in to make sure they stick and hold contact.
Huh.
But it's not an ideal solution. But,
Isn't it?
Well, I mean, it lets me keep playing it, but it's not like, ideal would be it just works, and not, well, is it messed up?
Yeah, but even though that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and, especially if they don't, print those things anymore, Because they're on 3DS now and stuff like that, so. That kind of sucked, though. Especially because it's something completely out of control that you're not expecting to have happen.
Yeah.
And you go and I think I found out that day, so I went to go turn it off. It's like, what? That was like the only game I brought down for the trip, too.
You only took one game?
It was like a long RPG.
It still seems weird to only take one game for a handheld.
It's not that weird if it's an RPG. You're thinking,
you're bound to reach a point where you're just like, I don't want to play this. I want to play something else.
Not when you're on a trip with friends.
When you're on a trip with friends and you're doing something boring.
Right, but that doesn't happen as often.
All the time.
Is that why you never talk to us during your PlayStation experience?
Because I'm so boring. But,
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Huh?
Do you want to answer this week's question?
I don't even remember what it was.
Most damaging game moment?
I think the point where my laptop died, and I lost all of my saves to pretty much every game I had played.
Yeah, they're still on that laptop hard drive. But we can't. We don't know how to pull them out.
Of the hard drive?
Yeah, because it's a laptop hard drive, so it doesn't just connect to a computer.
Oh, it's like one of the ones that PlayStation 3 uses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere on that hard drive, there is a level 72 character for Skyrim.
Huh. Alright, well, my moment doesn't seem very damaging, but I'm sticking with that answer.
it's a social damaging.
Yeah, it was social damaging, yeah.
Yeah, your friend probably didn't talk to you for like, he's like, hey, what's up, buddies? Oh yeah, this is a guy who just left me because I beat him once.
I didn't even know when he left, and I didn't come back till like, later. I straight up left, dude.
Like, he was gone by the time, it wasn't like, you left for like 10 minutes and
then... No, like, I left, I just walked out.
Of your room, your house.
My house, yeah. I walked outside and kept walking.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I was pissed off, dude.
Because of one
Because match? He wasn't supposed to beat me that day, no.
At all. Wow.
I was on like a freaking like 30-game win streak, dude.
Man, you would not be able to handle the rigorous stress of a competitive fighter.
What are you talking... No. Well, no, I get mad when I lose, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like... Close.
Yeah. People would probably love to watch you fight because of your reactions. You'd probably be one of those people. People that's like, oh man, win or lose, he's going to do something ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh man, that's bad. That's really bad, dude. This is not a good thing to be.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It isn't, though. It's, yeah. I don't know, some people say it's unhealthy, but I don't think it's unhealthy.
Yeah, I guess it could lead to, like, blood pressure problems down the line, maybe.
You mean now? Yay! I take a pill for that.
Oh, is that part of it?
It's part of it, though, yeah.
Well, that sucks.
It's a pill. It's a small pill. It's a minimum amount.
Dude, so I was reading this thing, actually, talking about high blood pressure. Reminds me of it, because high blood pressure can lead to heart attacks, right?
Apparently, strokes.
Yeah. I was reading this thing. Apparently, if you're having a heart attack, and, like, you're kind of, like, out on your own, and maybe you're close to a hospital, but you're not sure if you're going to make it or whatever, or you're just waiting for help to come, apparently what you're supposed to do, if you can't get aspirin, which you're supposed to chew before you swallow, because you need to grind,
faster digestion.
You need to grind it down, yeah. But apparently, if you don't have an aspirin, you're supposed to cough violently. You know, like, kind of like those coughs you get when you're almost going to puke kind of feeling?
Yeah.
Like one of those really big, heavy coughs, and then take a really deep breath. So apparently, the cough forces your blood to pump through your heart. Like, it kind of forces your heart to beat a little bit or something like that. Because of, like, the amount of force coming in from your chest.
Huh.
From the cough. And then the oxygen is just to get oxygen into your body.
Well,
yeah. There's nothing extra behind that one.
That's weird. I never heard of that.
Yeah, I only recently heard about it. It's like one of those things kind of circling the internet and stuff like that. So, I'd be very interested. If you're like, if you are a doctor.
It's better than not doing anything, even if you don't believe it.
Yeah, it's better than not doing anything, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a doctor and you've heard about this and you would like to verify or debunk it, I'd love to hear the clinical aspect behind it from a professional.
I would just love to hear that you're a doctor and you actually listen to this crap.
Doctor of fun.
Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper.
What?
Tastes more like regular Dr. Pepper. Without the sugar.
Tastes more like regular Dr. Pepper. So, that statement never made sense to me. Does it taste more like a regular Dr. Pepper than Dr. Pepper tastes like?
It tastes more like regular Dr. Pepper than regular Dr. Pepper.
Right, like, what does it taste more like regular Dr. Pepper in comparison to?
So you're not reading here between the lines, buddy.
Are there lines to be read between here? In this
maybe,
statement?
Maybe not. All right.
What's your question, my man? Awesome.
That's a great question, isn't it? Isn't it? My question of the week is, what vehicle would you love to own from a video game?
All right.
Inspired by Destiny 2.
Now, let's clarify for the listeners. I won't clarify this in the question. But for the listeners, people listen and get their question information in. When you mean vehicle, do you mean something your characters ride? So can it be like a dragon?
Vehicle has to be machine.
Has to be machine based.
Yes.
But if it's a machine dragon, that's
then
okay.
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
As long as it's powered by some kind of energy source that's not food.
Now what if it's a lightning based dragon?
It's still not a machine.
But it's powered by...
It can't be alive!
What if it has a sentient AI?
Jesus. Then that's fine. It's still a machine. It's not alive.
Now, to clarify your question...
You might think it's alive, but it's not.
What game vehicle would you like to own? Or like to... Okay.
Yeah.
I was forgetting what the end of it was.
Your cat's done! How does the cat fall off of bed? Oh! Oh my god, that was so funny, dude. He was just like, put your poop.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's great.
See ya.